The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
Yeah, possibly. I mean, George and his staff is... You know, looking at that.
Looking at the possibility of moves, which the Broncos made yesterday as they swapped some late-round picks to pick up Rams linebacker Kenny Young, who is currently the Rams' third leading tackler. You've done some Ram games?
Yeah.
Know much about this guy?
I mean, he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. I mean, henceforth, the reason they let him go. But he's got good speed. He's a good athlete. He'll run around. I think sometimes a little undisciplined, sometimes overruns things, you know. But that's part of being a young player. But he's got great athleticism. I mean, he's a definite upgrade over what we've been shuffling out there. So, but can you imagine being him? Go from he's a starting middle linebacker for the Los Angeles Rams, all of a sudden you're playing for Denver.
Why would the Rams trade him?
I think they probably have a couple of young guys that they really like that are athletes. And, you know, you think about the way they're built right now. They're built along the defensive front. Aaron Donald just destroys games without it. Even when he doesn't have a statistical, you know, any statistical relevance during the game, he just destroys games. And so... I think they're probably thinking, hey, we'll get by with some young guys there. They'll be better in the long run for it. So I would imagine that's kind of where they are.
Well, in seven games this year, like I said, 39 tackles, third on the team. He's got one sack, one forced fumble, one fumble recovery, and five tackles for loss. So This is a guy who has played and has produced, and now he's a Denver Bronco at position of absolute need. Next on the Morning Brew.
We were soft offensively. We're coming down shooting pull-up threes. I mean, like, I know they had great size out there and length with Markkanen and Mobley and Allen, but we just, you know, we never thought attack. We thought settle all night long. Give them credit. They came in here and beat our ass, but, I'm concerned about the offense, the turnovers, the shot selection, how lethargic we look at times. I mean, that starting group, man, like, that's a really slow-moving group.
Okay.
Wow.
Harsh words from Michael Malone after the first loss of the season.
I can't forget when I'm in love.
Hey, look, Cleveland's not that good. If you're a team with championship aspirations, you shouldn't be losing to them. But surprised at all about the intensity of the comments after just game three?
A little bit surprised, but yeah, I mean, there's a guy that's just giving to you straight, no chaser. I mean, you don't want to talk about lethargy. Let's talk about the lethargy of our group and the settling aspect. And I don't know if sometimes those comments, you lump all those comments together, but they are pointed, right? They're pointed to a certain individual who just got paid, who's supposed to step his game up, who was four of whatever he was.
Michael Porter Jr., 4 of 14. 9 of his 14 shots attempted were
three-pointers.
Did not go to the free throw
line. I mean, I think you're saying, hey, dude, like, you just got paid. And this is unacceptable. So I think it's clearly very pointed.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Jameis did a good job, especially in that two-minute drill. That was significant when you can score like that and then start the half with the football. But I was asked at the end of the half, you know, why Alvin so much? And a lot of that was based on the depth of the underneath coverage. So Jameis was smart enough to, you know, keep dumping it to him. Typically, a good two-minute drill, there's always an underneath throw or two to the runners, and this was no different.
There's an FOS, Sean Payton. As the Saints grind out a 13-10 win over the Seahawks, who dropped to 2-5.
Wow.
0-3 at home. What's the matter, 12th man? Why aren't you doing your job?
Yeah.
Man.
Mr. Unlimited.
Still think back to when we were in New York for the Super Bowl. And all those Seahawk fans invading New York City wearing their 12 jerseys.
Yeah.
That just said fan on the back.
Yeah.
Like, walking around like, we're the reason why we're in this game. We're important. We're meaningful. We make a difference.
They were, hey. They
apparently,
were.
Where,
they
you,
were
where you been this day. Year? Where have you been this year?
They were pretty much difference makers on that day. I'm with you. It's amazing how much a quarterback what difference that makes, right?
But covers all warts, right?
Yeah, that guy certainly does. So, anyhow, 2-5. That's it's kind of shocking, isn't it?
Just curious to see what this. Does this solidify? Does this show Seattle what life is like without Russell Wilson so that they'll bend over backwards now for Russell and Russell will be happy in Seattle? Or does this just maybe further the idea that, hey, we've got more issues than just Russell Wilson. It might be time to trade him off for a haul and start the rebuild. Next on the Morning Brew.
There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris. Rogers Hornsby was my manager, and he called me a talking pile of pig. And that was when my parents drove all the way down from Michigan to see me play the game. And did I cry?
No.
And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
World Series starts tonight.
Can you believe that?
Ooh, Houston and Atlanta. I think this is a chance for Atlanta to become America's team again. Remember when they were America's team?
No.
When they were on cable and you could see, everybody could see Atlanta games, no matter where you were, you could see
it. Yes, because they were on Turner or whatever.
Right. So they were positioned as America's team. Well, now they really truly have a chance to become America's team because you tell me outside of the confines of Houston, Texas, who's going to be rooting for Houston in this World Series? We are all Braves fans. Let's go Bravos.
Really? You don't like Houston?
Bang the drum slowly.
Because
here's the thing. And in all seriousness, if the players involved had showed a little bit more contrition for what they did, I'd have been able to move on. But there was, throughout all of this, there was an arrogance from the Correas and the Bregmans and the Altuves.
Mm-hmm.
I like Dusty Baker. Dusty inherited this.
Yeah, he brought this mess along.
But the players that were part of it, I never really sensed a whole lot of genuine, we're sorry. So as a result, easy team to root against.
I think it's kind of cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think all right, you got us. All right, you got us. Yeah, we tried. Not cheating, not trying. Oh, you don't think we're any good? Really? Okay, we'll play it legit.
But that's the thing, they are that good. Why'd they have to do it? Why'd they have to resort to it?
Because that's what you do. The New England Patriots are that good. Why did they have to do the things they did over the course of time? Because it was there, Mike, because they could.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, tells us when went into the decision to make the trade for Kenny Young. He'll join us next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.